Good morning. Welcome to another News and Focus program. It is February 14, 2013. Pastor Sean looking at an article from Christianity Today. Why Evangelical Leaders Love Pope Benedict XVI and His Resignation. Theologians and pastors felt kinship in his passion for theology and his stances on social issues. Pope Benedict XVI, who announced his resignation Monday after 8 years as head of the Roman Catholic Church, will leave a legacy of strong theology, cooperation with evangelicals, and a hard-line conservative stance on social issues, evangelical leaders and observers say. As Pope, German Joseph Ratzinger championed a culture of life on issues such as abortion, encouraged the new evangelism of the church, and issued the first papal tweet. Benedict 85 cited age and deteriorating strength as reasons for his resignation. Benedict stepped into a difficult role as an intellectual and administrator following John Paul II, the first, quote, celebrity, end quote, pope, said Carl Truman, professor of church history at Westminster Theological Seminary. He was never going to be comfortable with the kind of media exposure his predecessor courted and relished, Truman said, and added that the various pressing problems facing the Roman Catholic Church, the priest abuse scandal, the challenges of feminism, Islam, rising secularism, and he took the reins at a very trying time. In some ways, Benedict's resignation, the first in nearly 600 years, sends the most important message of his papacy, said Chris, director of the Billy Graham Center and author of Holy Ground, Walking with Jesus as a Former Catholic. Vatican I emphasized the divine character of the papal office and made it seem distant from average people. His resignation highlights the leader's humanity. Well, isn't that wonderful that we are highlighting the leader's humanity? That's an interesting phrase that he's using. And we'll talk about highlighting a person's humanity when we talk about the Son of Man or the person of Jesus Christ, in so much as the hypostatic union reminds us that Jesus is all God and all man. I'm not sure why we need to highlight this leader's humanity as though there's something else to highlight. The Pope is not God. The Pope is not the vicar of Christ. Let's continue with the article. He is expressing vulnerability in such a way that others will be able to identify with, he said. There is a temptation for all of us, Protestants and Catholics, in leadership with the church in clerical positions, to give the impression that we have it all together, that we're completely up for the challenge and the task. There are many times in life when we are not. All right, that's a fair statement. That is a fair statement. It is important for pastors to emphasize that they are sinners just like the members of their church. That's a fair statement. During the past 8 years, Benedict aided evangelicals with his strong support for traditional Catholic stances on abortion, the sanctity of life, and traditional marriage, said Leif Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Anderson, who met Benedict at an ecumenical prayer service in Manhattan in 2008, said he thanked Benedict at the gathering for his strong pro-life stance on everything from abortion to end-of-life topics. As evangelicals, those are really important concerns for us. Often, if it weren't for the Roman Catholic Church, we would be standing alone. Anderson said, I'm grateful and impressed with his faithfulness in these areas. Benedict's ecumenicalism also is evident in the document Christians Witness in a Multi-Religious World, a several-page booklet that the Catholic Church, the World Council of Churches, and the World Evangelical Alliance co-authored in 2010. The document lists biblical support for Christian witness and gives principles and recommendations for interfaith engagement. United Nations officials and governments are also using the pamphlet to work with faith-based initiatives. And Geoff Tunnicliffe, Secretary General of the World Evangelical Alliance. Now let us pause for just a moment and make an important point. Christian witness in a multi-religious world. What does that mean? When we in fact level the playing field and categorize Christianity with Islam, with Buddhism, with Hinduism, we are legitimizing those organizations, those churches, that belief system as valid. And the problem with that, it is unbiblical to do that. It is unbiblical to do that. Let us not forget that the Apostle Paul went into the synagogues and preached Jesus Christ as Lord of all. Let us not forget that the Apostle Paul communicated in Acts 17 that God previously winked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. The idea of anything that legitimizes paganism or false worship or idolatry or anything that suggests that this is okay and these people should be worked with and embraced, and anything that legitimizes their heathenism is sinful. It is wrong. It is not optional. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, must take a hard stand that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him. Across the board, the article continues, Benedict followed the tradition of Pope John Paul II, who held office from 1978 to 2005 and is known for holding traditional, socially conservative policies within the Catholic Church, said Russell Moore, Dean of the School of Theology at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. That conservatism frustrated many who wanted to see the Church move toward acceptance of same-sex marriage. And certainly we applaud that. His legacy of one of speaking forcefully in defense of old truths, Moore said, in an era that defined progress as capitulation to the sexual revolution, Benedict stood firm for the permanent things of human dignity and life and marriage. The Pope's tenure was troubled by some missteps, said Richard Mao, president of Fuller Theological Seminary. Benedict began a major project to reform women's religious orders in the U.S. while the sexual abuse scandal was ongoing in the church, which was unhelpful, Mao said. That's M-O-U-W. The Pope also reinforced traditional Catholic teachings on Mary and papal infallibility, emphasizing the theological divide between Protestants and Catholics. Many of us, especially since the reforms of Vatican II, have come to see the Pope as one of the important teachers in the Christian world, Mao said. As a teacher, I would give Benedict a B. Why? Why in the world would you give him a B? That is, I have no clue. I would love for the president of Fuller Theological Seminary to explain to the world why he gets a B and not an F. You say, an F? Well, sure, an F. I mean, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? The Catholic Church is not telling people that they must be born again. The Catholic Church is not preaching the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church is not preaching that the just shall live by faith and faith alone. I mean, what is going on here? Why are Protestants getting in bed with Catholics? What is happening here? Have we not forgotten the Reformation that communicated that folks are not getting saved in the Catholic Church? Now, having said that, are there saved Catholics? Sure. Are there priests out there that have come to realize that it is Christ and Christ alone, and they are remaining in the Catholic Church in an attempt to reform local parishes and bring people to Christ? Sure, I've got that. But we're not talking about individual Catholics who've come to faith in Christ. We are talking about the leader of the Catholic Church who has done nothing, nothing whatsoever to straighten out Catholics on their false view of who Mary is. Is this not idolatry? Do we not see this? Do we not see that the very thing that the Jews were commanded to do when they entered into the Promised Land and to destroy the idols of the land? Do we not see that praying to Mary is idolatry? God is not okay with people praying to Mary. God is not okay with that. That is not an acceptable alternative. Paul the Apostle makes it absolutely clear that there is one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. There are not two mediators. There is not a back door. This is not an okay issue to set aside. This is not like the division between the Baptists and Presbyterians on baptism. This is not the same. This is a gospel issue. Catholics do not understand the gospel. Catholics do not preach the gospel. Catholics preach a hybrid faith in Christ plus, and let me list the sacraments, beginning with infant baptism and concluding with the last rites that only the Catholic Church priest can administer. Do you not understand, listener, that nothing has changed in the Catholic Church with regard to the fact that they believe that salvation is found in the Holy Roman Catholic Church, in the Holy Roman Catholic Church alone? That although this ecumenicalism is happening, there is not any change of doctrine. Nothing has changed in their catechisms. It is still the same catechism that emphasizes the importance of keeping all the sacraments. Let's continue looking at the article after learning that the president of Fuller Theological Seminary would give the man a B. In general, though, Benedict emphasized ecumenicalism in much of his writings, said Francis Beckworth, a philosophy professor at Baylor University who returned to Catholicism while serving as president of the Evangelical Theological Society in 2007. Many of Benedict's encyclicals and other works are about faith, hope, and love. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We need to be writing about Jesus to emphasize these aspects of the gospel. Does have a great ecumenical pull to it. If you look at the way in which his writings have come out of the Vatican, underneath it all is a desire for Christian unity. Well, I don't believe that. I think we are courting two women at the same time. That's what I think. I think that we're married and we have a mistress. And that is an unacceptable alternative. Timothy George, Dean of Beeson Divinity School, has worked with Benedict on ecumenical coalitions. If I have to say that word one more time in this article, I am going to be exasperated. Most recently, to discuss the importance of evangelism. At that meeting last fall, Benedict emphasized the importance of biblical translation to make it available around the world and the importance of Christians working together to spread the gospel. We don't even have the same gospel. We don't even have the same gospel. Forsaking all, I trust in Christ. Forsaking all, I trust in Christ. Forsaking all. Forsaking my Holy Communion. Forsaking my infant baptism. Forsaking my... And you just listed, I trust in Christ alone. The Pope realizes that Christians need to stand together, speak out together, and be clear about the gospel together in the world in which we live today. Benedict was the first theologian to take on the papal role in the last century. George said, the Pope has written on the doctrine of the church and ecumenicalism and recently finished a trilogy on the life of Christ. I can't think of anybody else who brought to the papacy the kind of theological acumen, savvy, and depth as Benedict the 16th did, George said. That will be a continuing legacy to reaffirm the historical theological position of the Catholic Church. What in the world does that mean? To reaffirm the historical theological position of the Catholic Church. Be aware. Be aware of the concerted effort to set aside key doctrines for the sake of unity. If, in fact, what Christ did on the cross requires additional sacraments to be kept in order to be saved, then when Jesus said it is finished, it is really not finished. That's the fact, listener. That's the reality. Do we not understand? For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the divide between the Catholic Church and those that named Christ and Christ alone was giant. Do we not understand that Catholic doctrine has not changed? They have not said Mary is a sinner who needed to be saved like every other sinner. That hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. There hasn't been any drastic change in their theological position towards the sacraments or towards Mary or any of those things. And somehow a papal article or a book or something like that is ignoring the reality that doctrine has not changed, the catechism has not changed. Well, thanks for listening. Have a great day.